Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, three-man car, Jess Romero, Dr. Dan Schneider, Paul Clay. Good morning, gentlemen. We've got a hot topic today we want to have an intelligent conversation with. Let's all start off with a Hail Mary. This is a very hot topic we're going to talk about today. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, all you holy angels and saints of God, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, gentlemen, we're going to talk about something that happened a couple of years ago. Let me just give the background to it, then we're going to definitely go into a long conversation on this. On June, which is the sixth month of the year, coincidentally, 2016, notice the six there, there was 600 actors, notice, it's kind of interesting, 600 actors on the month of June, the sixth month of the year, in 2016. Coincidence, maybe. Well, what happened? What happened is the world's largest tunnel was built, and there was a ceremony celebrating the opening of the world's largest tunnel. It's called the Gotthard Base Tunnel. It runs through several countries in Europe. It took 17 years to complete, and there was an inaugural ceremony in 2016. This is what we're going to be talking about. So, you know, this tunnel is supposed to be a masterpiece, one of the great wonders of the world, and it's supposed to be a symbol of European unification. But as we're going to be talking about, the ceremony was a godless, pagan, I dare say a diabolical ceremony, and it was attended by Europe's most powerful people. There was European dignitaries like the German Chancellor, Merkel, the French President, the Italian Prime Minister. And what happened is there was this theatrical production of about 600 people, and it was a very bizarre occult ritual. And the main feature was a man dressed as a horned goat, again, a symbol of Satan, who appears to be leading a group of European workers. They look like zombies walking, and they're worshiping him. And later on in this theatrical performance, this man goat, this Satan, they marry him as they pass through the tunnel, and then they come outside under the gaze of this giant all-seeing eye on a huge digitalized screen. It looks like something from the Illuminati or something from the Masons. And then when they're in the outside, the ritual continues. There's this like demonic fallen angel. It takes the appearance of a baby-faced Lucifer. You could see the men look possessed. They're walking while holding up horn skulls. There's a procession of a woman dressed in white with small horns on their heads. Then you have three ghost-like apparitions floating in front of this digital screen featuring, again, this gigantic all-seeing symbol. And then what appears to be like a wedding of subservient people, they have white veils, and they're being wedded to this horned goat man. And then this, again, a digitalized symbol of the goat man is put on the huge screen, which makes it decidedly with all these evil faces on the screen. And then you see three Egyptian scarabs. Those are beetle dung beetles that are worshipped as sacred in ancient Egypt. You know, and it symbolizes for the Egyptians creation and rebirth. That also fills a screen. And also, it's interesting to note that in ancient Egypt, the scarab, this dung beetle, it was featured in a lot of their ceremonies. It was commonly associated with the so-called creator god named Atum. The long and the short of it in this in this occult ritual celebration in the completion of the Gothard base tunnel, again, replete with Satan, this horned goat god, various spirits, a false kingdom wedding, Egyptian scarabs, a giant eye centered around these ancient Egyptian gods, with the death of mankind. To me, this was the patriarchs of Europe invoking and inviting and conjuring evil spirits as a celebration to this opening of this tunnel. And again, to me now, it makes sense to me why Europe is imploding. The church is imploding. Socialism is running amok. Islam is growing in spades. The churches in Europe are basically museums. All this makes sense because, in my take, if these dignitaries and politicians are willing to do this in public, I wonder what they do in private. Paul, Dan, good morning. Dr. Dan Schneider, any comments, any feedback? And I'd like to get a conversation going on this.
No, I think it's quite interesting, as we pointed out in the past, that often the diabolic always mocks the, you know, the good, the right, the holy, the pure. So we see it in the ceremony, a paraliturgical reenactment of the creation, the story of creation. You've got a reenactment of the union of God with his people, Israel, where in creation, Adam and Eve were naked. You have naked, you have nudity or nakedness here. You've got a mock ceremony of marriage, probably a mockery of the understanding of the church as the bride of Christ, which goes all the way back to Sinai, where on the third day they were to go through a ceremony or ritual washing, and God would appear among them and bring the law, and that was when, in Judaism, God was seen as the bridegroom, of Israel, the bride. We see this in the wedding feast of Cana as well. We see this reenactment of the third day, and now the new covenant people is being brought about. God and his people, now through the church, the icon of the Virgin Mary and sexual purity, and her maternity, but also her virginity. All this, if you really wanted to spend time on this, it's a filthy ceremony, and to unravel it, you can see nothing but the mockery of these images, true images. God creating order out of chaos. Instead of order out of chaos, you have a serpent coming out of the primordial waters. So we see a real diabolic inversion here. And ultimately, what the symbolism means, I think, to me, is the death of God, the rise of the false gods, the death of Western civilization, and a return to the neo-pagan religions prior to the Christianization of Israel, of Europe.
Hmm. Wow, great analysis. Paul, what say you?
That was fantastic analysis. Hey, Dan, I have a question for you. And that would be, do you think that the people participating in this or attending, like the leaders, do you think they were completely oblivious to what's going on? Or do you think that they know?
It's hard to tell. They had major world leaders present. You had religious representation from all religions present. You wonder if they were blind to it or if they were knowingly participating in it. There's probably a combination of both. There are probably some that knew fully. The people that put it together obviously knew very well what they were doing. And they spent, not only that, they spent $9 million just on the ceremony. You talk about a colossal waste of money.
Yeah.
So some of them, I think, know very well what they're doing. And I think there's a lot of we know in our own body politic, there's a lot of unknowing but useful tools of the enemy that are being used for his purposes under, again, such false guise as a new humanity, a rebuilt humanity, human solidarity. These are all Freemasonic terms. These are all pre-Christian terms. We know the very word, if you read the Office of Readings yesterday, Clement talks about the Catholic world. The word Catholic means universal. Manhood is united under the universal guise of Jesus Christ and the Church, and this is what provides the bonds with us, not some humanistic pre-Christian unity. And so this is again, it's a sloughing off of Western civilization, a sloughing off of everything that binds them, the chains, the so-called of Christianity and the so-called freedom to live in this new humanistic world. This is just, if you could see what was going on behind the scenes, perhaps in the French Revolution, and if you could see that the theater in the cosmos taking place behind the French Revolution, it would be something very much akin to this in the spiritual realm.
Wow.
You know, the destruction of Catholicism, the destruction that, think about the French Revolution, where they destroyed statues of the Virgin Mary, but they put up statues to Lady Reason. And they would take tear down statues in churches, and they would make them houses of reason. And this revolutionary spirit that overtook Europe. It's coming now in a new force, and we're seeing the diabolic underpinnings behind it, and we're seeing it in our own culture as well. We're seeing it in the breakdown of order and authority in our own cities now. So I think behind the scenes, I think they gave us kind of a bird's eye view of what's taking place spiritually in the spiritual realm. It might sound a little fanciful, but what's happening in the spiritual realm gets played out here. We know this to be true in our own church, in our own religious orders.
It's interesting. Hey,
Jesus 911, three-man card, Dr. Dan Schneider, Paul Clay, Jess Romero, talking about the occult ritual ceremony in 2016. Don't change that dial. Stick around. We'll continue on this conversation.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, three-man car. Dr. Dan Schneider, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're talking about the occult ritual that opened in 2016, Europe's largest train tunnel, and they did it in front of Europe's leaders. I like what Dan said the last segment. This is kind of like a paraliturgy. And also, to me, this is a mockery of salvation history. This is they're trying to deconstruct salvation history with the Masonic worldview. Paul, you had I want to hear your comments, and you also had a good question for Dr. Schneider.
Yeah. So, the question that I had for Dr. Schneider, and by the way, I'm thank you for this opportunity to interact with you guys, Jess. This is good stuff for me. But,
amen.
You know, at the beginning of this so-called inauguration, they had a Benedictine abbot, a Muslim cleric, a Jewish rabbi, and a female Protestant minister. My question is, at least in my opinion, first I want to make a comment. To me, just, and Dan, this is almost like an unholy union. And it kind of reminds me of the story of when Jesus confronted the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, where she had five husbands, and we know those five Baals or five, lords, so to speak, which represented, five religions that the Samaritans had been, interacting with. But when I see Christianity, a Benedictine abbot, on equal footing with all of these other religions, to me, it represents something that's not right. Like, I just wanted to comment on that.
The sin of syncretism.
Syncretism is, again, we're subordinating the truths of Christianity to this higher value of humanism or human solidarity. But notice in your example, the Samaritan woman leaves her jar. The only mention of, and then I've written a whole piece on this in my thesis on the Samaritan woman. So I could bore you to death with it, but this is a symbolic marriage proposal to the Samaritan woman. And she leaves her jar, meaning she leaves her syncretic ways. And that's what the Samaritan religion was. It was a blending of Judaism and false religions interspersed in their own history. And so, mm-hmm. and so you, so you're picking up, I think, Paul, you're tracking in the right direction, because this is what we're seeing, this watering down and this blending of ritual practice. And we see in Satanism not just a watering down, but a complete inversion, a complete mockery. And so you see the key figure is a bi-gendered diabolic figure, and presenting as an infant, as in humanity is being rebirthed in this new transcendent reality, that real full humanism transcends the social constructs of gender, and biological gender is something that needs to be deconstructed, and the true emancipated human is one that embraces the male and the female. We see this symbolism in Freemasonry. The G Freemasonry refers to the generative principle. So we see this mockery of the generative principle. It often goes back to that, if not always goes back to that, going back to creation. God said, let us create man in our image, male and female. He created them. And so from the beginning, we see a complementarity in male and female, and that has been completely deconstructed. And so, you know, homosexuality, bisexuality, and all these other inventions, seemingly modern inventions, we see the diabolic roots behind all of that. And we see that they're playing it out in this very ceremony, you know, going back to undergird and undermine and underdo all things. What's also interesting, you mentioned syncretism, Jess. Sometimes I'll go to daily mass and there'll be somebody in the congregation has the bumper sticker, the coexist bumper sticker. You've seen that? It's all religions are equal. You know, you either reject religion outright as evil, or all religions are equal and there's many paths to God. Well, this is just simply not true. This flies in the face of what we know in the revealed faith, de fide faith of the Roman Catholic religion, which says non solus, right? Outside of the church, there is no salvation. So,
amen.
So this was an extremely aggressive portrayal. What's interesting also is that we see this, for example, with cases, and oftentimes the demon will lead people to self-harm through cutting, self-mutilation. And so oftentimes when we have a case of cutting, a person is cutting, often a young person, more often than not, almost always, someone, a young woman, blonde, from a Celtic type Irish, Western European, Irish Celtic background. And so we see, as Christianity is removed from our culture, we're seeing now a return. That void is being filled with a return to the pagan Druid, Celtic, and other type religions that Christianity displaced in the proclamation of the gospel. We see it, you know, in Mexico, and some of the cultic things that are now coming over from Mexico are returned to pagan witchcraft, etc., again, as returning to what was culturally embedded before the bringing about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know what, this also, there was a two-part ceremony, as you recall. One was inside the tunnel, and the other pagan ceremony was outside the tunnel. And to me, as I watched it two or three times, it was beyond bizarre. It was confusing.
Yeah, it was.
It was confusing, and it was also dystopian. You know, it had no organization, no order, and also it was immodest, and that's just putting it mildly. Again, the ceremony was performed on June, which is the sixth month, the year it was performed, 2016, and there were 600 artists that performed. Kind of coincident, 666. Here's something that's interesting. I want to get your guys' take. The workers came out in this kind of a zombie-like fashion to this, this discordant music. To me, this represents communism, because they stress labor, they stress unity, and they all did the same thing. They all had the same goal, to build this big tunnel, you know, one of the wonders of the world. And then the next part of the ceremony was, again, bizarre. They had 9 workers dying in the process. And so in communism, many workers die for the workers' paradise, because in communism, they don't die for God. They die for, again, they die for the cause, the workers' paradise. And then the workers, these communist workers dressed in orange, they break free of their trance-like walk, and they start taking their clothes off. And they're nearly naked. And to me, this tells me that communism, this communist-like thinking, now gave birth to the sexual revolution, which bursts forth. And then the ceremony showed that this was basically a return to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you also have this making fun of the old ways, because the old ways are symbolized by an army, this army, you know, they're dressed in this formal uniform, and they're looking on, and they're playing their instruments, and they're acting as if nothing's wrong. And later you see the traditional Swiss pipe blowers, they're also surrounding the whole chaos of this semi-orgy as if they're showing their approval. And it's an ungodly scene. What this tells me is that, and I want to get your take, Dan and Paul, that the old ways must give ways to the evils of the present. That's what's being symbolized here. And that's what, again, that's when the workers fell into this immodest dancing and this erratic behavior, the dancers were actually howling and grunting. And to me, this reminds me of what Fulton Sheen says. The three signs of the diabolical are love of nudity, love of violence, and a split personality or erratic behavior. The actors seem possessed with the music to match what they were doing. Comments, Paul, Dan?
Yeah, I just like, Satan, it just seems to be outwardly, you know, more active in recent times. Dan, is this true or not true? Or has he always been active and we're just seeing it right now?
I think it seems, just as an observation, it seems that it's becoming more overt. I mean, this would have caused an outcry, a generation ago, 10, 15 years ago, even. It would have been considered bizarre and completely inappropriate. Whereas today, it's just okay. You know, it's think about it all. You know, what was it, in Oklahoma City? They put the Satanists put up a statue of Baphomet, about 10 years ago. But, 20 years ago, this would have been, this wouldn't even have passed. But this is a new generation of radicals out there, and we're starting to see the boldness of the diabolic. Because Christianity, again, one of the things I've said this many times, our previous president, President Obama, one of the truths that he spoke was America is no longer a Christian nation. But as we become post-Christian, to be post-Christian is to be neo-pagan. I think that's what we're seeing. That man, we are created for God. We are created with a religious sense, a desire for the sacred, a desire for the other. And when that isn't filled with the true, the good, the holy, the beautiful, the church, it's going to be filled in another way. And we're seeing it very clearly in this ceremony. It's not only bizarre, it's a frightening thing to watch when you see it. It smacks your Catholic sensibilities, and you recognize, I may not know the symbolism, but I know it's not good. This is bad stuff. You know,
Paul, comments?
Yeah. Listen, Jess, I was reading your book, The Devil in the City of Angels. And there's a phrase in there that you quoted, and it was in Latin, nullus diabolus, nullus redemptor, and this idea that,
no devil, no redeemer,
no devil, no redeemer. So, when we see the devil clearly, if we don't do what you guys are doing, like Dr. Dan and you do every week, which is to basically raise our awareness of this stuff going on, we're not going to see a need for Christ. And that's what you see, that's what you see in the world. I mean, on the one hand, there's a couple kinds of people. There's the active Luciferian Satanist type people out there who do understand this, who look to Satan for power and all the things that he can promise in this world. And then the large majority of the people are kind of out there in the middle, in almost like a living in a demilitarized zone. You know, there's a war going on all around them, but they don't even they're actually casualties of war. They're victims of what's going on, and but they're powerless to do anything about it. That's what I think's going on.
Good analysis. I think the highlight for these pagans of the ceremony was when the devil comes out dressed like a goat, like goat-like man. and then he takes control of the whole stage. I want to get your analysis on that section, and then bring this macro into the micro, how this affects us as Catholic men, understanding what's clean versus the unclean, and make sure that our houses are in order. You're listening to Jesus 911. This is where Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Blessed Mother is the Queen Mother. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Eternal rest grant unto Rush Limbaugh, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon him. May the soul of Rush Limbaugh, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, amen. Patron saint of a happy death, pray for him. I've been listening to him for 30 years. And by the way, guys, just to, not to deviate too much, I think he was a Catholic, and I'll tell you why. I've been out to Florida to give conferences, you know, in the last 20 years and stuff, and I went to do a Spanish conference at a parish in Florida, and this gardener came up, this Hispanic guy came up to me, we're talking, he goes, hey, I'm a gardener, you know, I loved your lectures, Jesse, thank you very much for coming to our parish. And then he goes, hey, Jesse, do you know a guy named Rush Limbaugh? This is all in Spanish. I said, I don't know him. I said, but I hear him on radio. He goes, you sound just like him. You know, he goes, you sound just like him the way you talk. He says, you and him would get along. And I said, yeah, I said, how do you know about Rush Limbaugh? You're a Spanish speaker. He was Mexican, didn't speak very well, good English. He goes, oh, he goes, I'm his gardener. He says, I've been doing his yard for 10 years. And I said, really? And then now I said, wow, tell me about him. He goes, I can tell you this, he's Catholic. I said, why do you say that? He goes, I could go to his refrigerator anytime. I make myself my lunch there. I use his refrigerator in his dining room, and I use his bathroom when I need to use the bathroom. He says his house is full of Catholic statues, crucifixes, and Catholic medieval art. And so he goes, and he even got a holy water font like in his front door and stuff. I said, are you kidding? He goes, no. He goes, nobody knows this. He says, he's very private. He says, but I can tell you he's Catholic. Well, I just want to share that with you guys. And let me just also show the audience two of my favorite guys. Paul Clay's my Monday co-host. Paul and me go back 30 years. We worked in the sheriff's department together as rookie cops. That's where I met Paul. Paul was a Protestant when I met him. He actually got me to start reading the Bible 30 years ago. And as a result of that relationship, I became a fired up evangelical Catholic Christian. And Paul ended up coming back to the Catholic Church about 15 years ago. When he started immersing himself in Catholic apologetics. Paul also served our country in the Navy and the Coast Guard. And so I go way back with Paul. My initial conversion to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ started with a relationship with Paul Clay. I go back with Dan Schneider about 20 years. I met Dan out in New Mexico. I was out there giving some parish missions. We met. We hit it off. Dan served our country in the Army. I like military guys. My father-in-law fought in the Korean War in the Army. Rest in peace. My son is a sergeant in the Army Reserve. And so I got military around my whole family. Dan and also shared a love for Catholic apologetics and also a love for boxing. Dan was a boxer out in Arizona, an amateur boxer. I was an amateur boxer out here in California. So that's the relationship I have with both of you guys. And I just want to introduce both of you guys to each other because both of you guys are very near and dear to me.
This is exciting. Hey, listen, it's nice to know that I can't mess with Dan either, Jess.
Dan's a hammer. Dan's a hammer.
Yeah,
Don't let that PhD fool you.
Exactly.
He's not a.
Hey, softie. You know what? Real men love Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
Real men love Jesus. Hey,
that's right. Go ahead.
I have. I thought Jess commenting back on. You know, when you mentioned the workers and communism, and we understand that there's some diabolical roots to Marx, who, you know, was one of the fathers of communism and Engels, you know, how they dedicated the Communist Manifesto to Satan. And so So we see that connection of communism right in the middle of all this satanic activity. And I think a lot of people in the world don't connect that, you know, that communism and the devil are go hand in hand. It's almost his doctrine or creed, like Dan's comments on that.
Yeah, and we see, you know, on the symbolic level, the level of the workers, but at the same, you know, they're also enslaved, and they need to be liberated from that. You know, if my dad was a blue collar guy, may he rest in peace. If my dad was a miner and was killed, one of the nine workers that was killed in there, I would be outraged that they did a ceremony mocking his death and symbolizing his death as human sacrifice towards the greater good of this enlightened, illumined humanity. It's a mockery of this, of, you know, of it mocks those who gave their lives, just who had to work to build this tunnel. And we see again in the so-called order, you know, when I was in the military, we trained to fight the Soviets before, you know, Desert Storm arose and we went over to the Middle East. But we were at the early start of my training. We were ready for the battle against the Russians. And we even had playing cards, you know, I was a helicopter pilot. So we had playing cards that identified the enemy tanks, anti-aircraft weapons, et cetera. So we could know them visually when we saw them in battle. It actually came in handy. So the image of the Russians in this very strict, distinct march, organized, et cetera. But we see here behind the scenes, the real goal is the total disorder and destruction. You know, the Greek word for order is archos. And and Jesse and I have talked about this quite often. What we're seeing being poured out is anarchos, which is a lack, no order whatsoever, a displacement, a replacement of holy order or hierarchy, both hierarchy in society and also hierarchy within the church. We're seeing a destruction of any sorts of order. Yes. Also, we saw the imagery of the mockery of the Pope, someone dressed as the Pope, a mockery of religious life.
Yes.
And all this, it goes back to the phrase that we use, that evil militates to absurdity. And we begin to see the absurdity. When you begin to see the absurdity of this, you take it back. Again, you don't need a PhD to recognize this is goofy. My dad would have said, this is some goofy stuff. What the heck is this garbage? You know, he just click. He wouldn't even have even given it any thought. He said, that's just goofy, you know. And so some things you just got to call it what it is. It's just goofy. But we know as guys that work in spiritual warfare that behind the scenes, something deeper is taking place.
Yes.
And so, going back to what Jesse had said, bringing it back to the working guy, what does this mean? You know, you don't want to be present at that ceremony. You don't want to give any permissions. The demon doesn't have rights per se over the soul, but he takes permissions that we give him. So, you know, I wouldn't want to be present. If you're the leader of a nation and you're present there, there's certain permissions, because by natural law, you've got a certain authority over this area. Certain permissions are going to be taken by the diabolic. When in Revelation, it says that the devil stands before the throne of God night and day, accusing the brethren. His name, one of his names is the accuser. Well, he's accusing things like this. Lord, I know this person is claiming to be Christian, but have you seen his movie history on Netflix? You know, have you seen how often he likes to go to Hooters? You know, again, Jesse mentions this phrase, the clean from the unclean. It's when we allow the unclean into our homes as fathers and mothers, it brings in certain permissions. And so bringing it down from globally down to the micro level, we have to make sure that we are pure in thought, word, and deed, and not, don't even go near this stuff. Stay away from it altogether, not even in curiosity.
And by the way, that's today's the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday. And here's where we go deeper. This is when we go into the octagon for 40 days, so to speak. And we go into deeper training as Catholics, more prayer, fasting, almsgiving, being generous, mortifying our body, mortify in order to fortify, you know, master your passions by taking, by practices, penitential practices within the Catholic faith, meditative prayer, reading more scripture. Today in the Catholic Church starts UFC training. Paul, comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what Dr. Dan just said, and I thought it was great. So when they give theatrical so-called performances like this, and these are actors actively participating in an occult ritual and satanic activity, this is not just benign artistic performance. That's what you're saying, right, Dr. Dan?
Absolutely. It's not benign whatsoever. Yeah, you've given permissions. The 600 dancers and actors that participated and the organizers, et cetera, you know, they've opened doors. And part of the purification of our memories that the Lenten practices bring, it helps us to recall events of our past, to go deeper and confess those sins. This is a 100% sin against the first commandment. And if you participate in anything like that, you should confess it. If you are a member of Freemasonry, it needs to be confessed and renounced. If you are a member of any organization that militates against the Catholic Church, that needs to be renounced and confessed as violations of the first commandment. So any practice, any going, even if you're just having a good time and for fun, you know, going to get your palm read or you know, some of these other occult things, this is the entry point. This is where we see the commonality of all of our cases is people dabble in witchcraft and they commit serious sin, mortal sin, and they play with fire. This is where the diabolic says, okay, I'll take this one. I can work with this guy.
And listen, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's exactly what you're saying is that, you know, when we separate ourselves because of unholy things in our lives, when we separate ourselves from the life of Christ and we're outside of a state of grace, well, then we're just basically fuel for the fire. And that's a great point.
Let me just mention, taking it again to the macro, then bringing it back to the micro. This goat-like man who is like a depiction of the devil, when he's unleashed on the stage, he does anything he wants to anybody in this on stage. He does it in front of the dignitaries and in front of church leaders. And and this ceremony basically is saying that, you know what, this is a return to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the way I saw it. It also tells me that these people that put this together, they're letting us know that nothing's wrong, throw caution to the wind. The devil's unleashed, and that was depicted by all these diabolical figures on the stage. Listening to Jesus 911, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, Dr. Dan Schneider, talking about the European tunnel and the pagan ceremony that preceded it. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
The program where Jesus Christ is Lord, the program where the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Queen Mother. Three-man car here. We're on Soul Patrol. I want a comment from Dr. Dan Paul. During this pagan worship, there was also some earth worship involved. You had these guys that walked in with like these branches and stuff, and then people started bowing down to these branches and, you know, these trees. So you have these actors started worshiping the earth. They bowed down to these natural and preternatural forces that were on stage. And to me, this is a display of what Sister Lucia called diabolical disorientation that's going on in the world. And here's another thing that this ceremony told me. This tunnel is telling the world that there's a highway to hell, and it's easy to travel. And
it's
everybody's
not just a song.
It's not just a song. That ceremony is telling us something bigger. It's a dog whistle to everybody out there. Guess what, guys? There is a highway to hell, and there's some people that want to take us on it. Again, it's way beyond a song. And this reminds me of what St. Paul says again, once again, is that ultimately our beef, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, against human beings. We're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers and wicked places. We're fighting against demons. Dr. Dan, comment. Paul, comment.
Yeah. Paul Paul, you were in your ATC guy, right?
Yes.
Air traffic control.
Yes.
So the ATC guys, as a pilot, those guys ruled the skies. You could be you could be flying the most amazing, you know, gunship, bomber, whatever. But when you got into their airspace, they were 100% in charge. And I never said once to my say, I don't like these guys. I don't like what they're doing. I should be able to land whenever I want, wherever I want. Right. What is the role of the ATC? To impose order, because in order there is safety. I never said, oh, they shouldn't turn runway lights on for me. They can't tell me where I can land. I can tell you many times that I was flying in the dark, flying in the blind, flying instruments. And a guy, just like Paul says, all right, turn to 0020, descend to 1500, boom. And next thing you know, he tells you, you ought to be seeing the runway right about now. And sure enough, all of a sudden you see the runway lights and you're like, oh, I made it home. Another safe mission. And so it's the order. If you had to pick a word that described the ceremony, it's disorder. It's a cacophony of disorderedness. Christianity is order. And this plays out, and when dealing with cases of the diabolic, that the demon responds to the order, an imposition of order in the life. This is what the Father Ripperger's protocol, the Liber Christo protocol, the fourfold protocol, why it's so effective, because it imposes an order of prayer upon the person, and the demon reacts to that. You see this built into this diabolic ceremony, a lack of order where there's chaos, but by imposing order onto the afflicted soul, the demon begins to pattern out, and you begin to push back just through the order itself alone is the first step that has to take place. Because the first thing that demon does to the person is to create this diabolic disorientation, inversion of the circadian cycle. They can't sleep during the night, but diet, food is disgusting to them. And so it just starts to create an inner chaos through their bodily functions. And so imposing an order of prayer is absolutely necessary. Now, that isn't only for the possessed that come to the church for help. Us in our own lives, this is what Lent is. Lent is the true great reset, for us to reset our lives and reorder our passions, to reorder our desires, to reorder all that we do, because it's in the imposition of order. That's the first thing that puts the enemy on notice, is that, no, this soul is taking charge of itself, and the enemy will push back against that. You're going to get pushback on whatever we made commitments for Lent. We're going to get immediate pushback, because it's in the imposition of the will through an ordered life of prayer that you'll get more movement in finding interior liberation than just finding the magic prayer or going to find the anointed charismatic prayer group that's going to free me, you know, so I don't have to, so I can sleep again. Put discipline back into your life. This is military guys and paramilitary, you know, cops like Jess. Having order and structure makes sense to us. We're ordered, we're geared towards that, and bringing that order to bear truly helps the spiritual life as much as anything else.
I love that. I love those comments that you made, Dr. Dan, because order, you know, I know you see a lot when you deal with exorcisms and things like that, and you and Jess both have a lot of expertise in that area. It's all about order and disorder. It's all about permissions given versus no permission given, you know, and so that order is important. You made a point. I loved your analogy, by the way. You can ignore the tower, but at your own peril, right? your own peril, you know, lest you die. and that's exactly what we're talking about with disorder. When you leave order and go to disorder, you put your soul in peril. You know, your soul is basically dead, and dead to God, and eventually will be dead forever. The other thing is I'm just reminded of Psalm chapter 2, when why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us.
That's
this
it,
is exactly, yeah, this is what they're, this is what they're trying on. to, Yeah, this is what they're saying, that God, your laws, your order is too restrictive. We don't, you're restraining us from our freedom. If I want to, love another man, I should be able to love another man. And this is what you see with this Luciferian all-inclusiveness. This, we can see really what the battle's all about. And so, I'm getting a lot out of this.
That's Paul, good. You get,
Paul, I love verse four though. Don't forget verse four, where it says that God, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord is laughing at the efforts of these evil men that are trying to cast aside his sovereign rule, because their day is coming. Every single one of us is going to have an exit interview, and especially a lot of these people. I mean, Joe Biden, he's an old man. Nancy Pelosi, she's an old woman. All of us are going to have our day in the tribunal of Christ, and this is why God laughs at evil men from heaven, because they're not going to get away with it, and neither are we, by the way. Everything we say, everything that comes out of our mouth, every action of ours will be judged as well, so I'm not exempt from the judgment as well. Comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Dan.
No, go.
Now, I was going to say, I read a book years ago, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, as a Protestant, yes. And I'll just tell you, that's not the end that you want to be on, you want to be definitely, under the mantle of his grace and not under his judgment. Go ahead, Dr. Dan.
Dan, let me make a good point. I want you to comment on this, because this is going to end up on a good point. St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priest, right the night before he was about to have a big fish, somebody who was going to repent of their sins in confession, he would be attacked the night before by the diabolical when he was about to have a big conversion the next day of a penitent that was going to come to him. And so the devil even set his bed on fire one night. And so, to me, this is telling me the fact that the diabolical is so in our face right now and so widespread. Looking at St. John Vianney, I don't know, maybe something big is going to happen real soon in the church, in the body of Christ. And this is why the devil is so openly coming after us, because something divine and big is about to, a mass catch of fish, mass conversion of the church. I don't know. It may be happening in some time soon. The reign of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the triumph of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is why the devil is, so to speak, setting our beds on fire right now, because something big is about to happen. That's just my take. Dan, what do you say?
Yeah, it does seem to, there seems to be a sense among the faithful that, yes, something is happening. We're all recognizing that this is, again, evil militates to absurdity, and we're starting to see the absurd things, but at the same time, we don't lose hope. And you have to wonder that the lockdowns all started after Lent last year. It's almost as if we can just dig down as a people of God and really do a good, holy Lent, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, offering up our prayers, our little sufferings for the purification of the church, for the purification of the world, for the restoration of truth and order, and reparation for the blasphemies against the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Do all these things that we know as Catholics. If we would just dig down and joyfully live out a good holy Lent, you have to wonder if we're going to move the needle and bring us closer to bring the pendulum to come back from the chaos that's happening right now.
Final comments, Paul?
Yes, in the Gospel of Matthew, what does it say? What does the Lord say? You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And I just want to encourage everybody to continue to be what God has called you to be. Be that salt, be that preservative agent. Let's get involved and just battle against this evil and win this world for Christ.
Amen. Dan? Comments?
Amen. No, I think that's spot on. I think it's easy to fall into looking at the weird, absurd things, the bizarre, and fall into some sort of curiosity. We should avoid that, and we should always keep our eyes on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We should continue to grind it out. The words of Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Know that evil is out there, but we have to keep grinding one family at a time. Stay in your lane. work through your family, keep letting grace flow into the world through you and through your family, and whatever God calls you to do in that apostolate, do it. But otherwise, stay, you know, keep grinding it out, keep praying, keep going to mass, don't give up hope no matter what, and don't worry about what the devil's doing, worry about what God is doing in your life.
Oh, that's good.
Stay in your lane.
That's right. Stay in your lane. Yeah. Don't worry about what the devil's doing. Worry about what God's doing. Hey, yes. As Catholics, let's not forget, we need to know our faith. During Lent, start boning up on your faith. Start reading good spiritual books, okay? Because you can't live your faith if you don't know it. And also, we're called to live our faith. It's meant to be a public thing, not something you leave at home. And finally, evangelize. Spread your faith. We need to let the world know about Jesus, and Jesus Amen. Wants to bring the whole world into captivity to his gospel and the one true church. Gentlemen, thank you very much. This was an incredible show. Jesus 911. Up next, Gary Matuta, Hands-On Apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. And I remind all of you, our call is to become great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. See you next time. We're 10-7. We're out.